Ed, it's your roving reporter Carl Reiner here at LaGuardia Airport, awaiting the arrival of a plane load of eminent visitors, among them the distinguished Viennese authority on mountain climbing and one of the greatest guides in the world. His new book on mountain climbing has just been published. It's entitled, What Do You Need It For? And here he is, Professor Kurt von Fredekat.
A little.
Professor, you seem in very good spirits today.
Yes. I've just conquered Mount Richtfen for Augenblitz and Rachbeklauen.
Professor?
Yeah, I conquered it. I conquered it when my partner is still dangling over there. Yeah, he climbed it with roller skates. I told him not to do it, but he insisted.
I see.
He was a sweet fella. He was on the other end, and all of a sudden, nothing, you know. But you can't let your spirits get down.
I see. Well, Professor, I imagine you wear that rope about you in memory and respect to him.
No, it keeps my pants up. That's all.
Well, Professor, would you tell us who you consider to be the greatest mountain climber of all time?
Jim Richardson. This kid could scramble over a mountain. Boy. By he was... You know the mountain? You know the mountain, Dingle Dangle?
Mount Dingle Dangle.
Mount Dingle Dangle?
Yes.
You know that mountain?
Yes.
He broke the record on that mountain.
Really, Professor?
This fella could climb a mountain. He would scamper. He went up that mountain in 3 days, 14 hours, and 7 minutes.
Is that a record, Professor?
No, he broke the record on the way down. 10 seconds flat. He was flat. He broke the record, he broke his head, he broke everything. But he broke the record.
Well, that's important. Professor, what is the most dangerous mountain in the whole world?
Mount Slippery. Oh, boy, it's in the Slippery Valley.
I see.
I went with a party of men to conquer the mountain.
Really?
But a big foreboding edifice it was. Bulls, it's, you know, sheer cliffs. And, we studied the mountain, and that night, we went to sleep, we all went to sleep, and then we heard the mountain. And the mountain was calling, and was saying, come, conquer me. I dare you. Come, conquer me. I, Slippery Mountain, come, conquer me. And this went on night after night after night after night. On one night, I just made a decision. I threw off the covers. I ran out of the house, and I walked up to the foot of the mountain. And I said, shut up already. I got a little sleep here. What's the matter with you? And he said, I'm blabbering and blabbering and blabbering. No, we're nobody going to conquer you, but put a sign, no conquering allowed.
It's amazing. Professor, on top of...
Why do you ask me questions like that?
Well, Professor, I'm sorry.
Never ask me.
Knowing.
You know what happened to him?
Yes, it won't happen again.
All right.
Professor, what can one do in an emergency, say on top of a mountain crag, when your rope starts to break? What can you do to save it?
But didn't you read my chapter about emergency?
I didn't get to that part.
Did you read that?
I didn't.
Oh, sure. When you're on the side of a mountain, you're way up high, when you see your rope is broke,
yes,
you have 2 seconds to act. First thing you do is you start to scream. And you keep screaming all the way down. There's no way to find you.
Isn't there something else? Anything else you can
yes,
do?
Yes, there's another thing. You could, there's another alternative. When you see your rope break, you have only 2 seconds again. You immediately extend your arms like this, and you fly as hard as you can. Keep flying. Fly. Fly like crazy.
But, Professor, humans can't fly.
How do you know? You may be the first one. What do you got to know? Always go back to screaming. Screaming is always working for you.
Professor, I hate to bring the subject up again, but your friend Hans Goodfellow, was he a screamer or a flyer?
He was a flying screamer. And a big crasher. He bounced a lot.
Professor, a bouncer, too.
Yes. A crasher and a bouncer.
Professor, did you ever fall from any great height?
You're looking at a kid that took a flop.
You did? You actually fall from a mountain?
You know that mountain,
Pike's Peak.
Pike's Peak, whatever it is. I agree with you. I'm on your side here. Now, I took a flop from there, 7,642 feet.
Well, did you hurt yourself badly?
Did you see that? That's all that's left of me. All the rest is new. All the people.
Wonderful, Professor.
Well, I gotta go now. Well, I'll see you later. You little.
Merci beaucoup. Le patin n'a rien sur l'armée picante. Est-ce que vous êtes le petit pianon, se dirait-il, le ridicule de Ranaré et de Babroupe? Est-ce que vous êtes pour les titres de mes mères, tout de mes parchemins de mal? Qu'est-ce que c'est, mon ami, pas pour les bien morchus, j'ai mis belle couleur de pain, vous le sel. Il faut barrer, puis il est prendre les pas dans le répétit. Répétit, le rendez-vous d'être retourné à la Babroupe, comme il bosse dans la Chalamet. Est-ce que vous êtes le retourné dans la Chalamet? Le rendez-vous va s'en perdre, puis vous le répétez pas dans le cas. Et vous nous trembliez le colonel Napoléon, et les personnes patronnées, je n'ai pas d'ordre, mesdames, non pas d'ordre. Et le rondet, tout de son arrivage. Puisque maintenant, tu parles de la langue qui vient de Napoléon, et rendra bientôt ça à la manche de fâche, puisque ça n'est rien pour les patronnées, puisque par l'impôt, on était bien plus jeune en qui, alors bientôt le mari, madame. Tout à l'heure, il y avait des cunes de relis pas son avis, moi, de s'il avait mes longues bagarres. Il regarde, il s'y met le démenton, il m'écrit que les gammes, vous en avez un Victor Hugo. Merde, je n'ai plus pour Henri Bonzac, je n'ai plus pour d'être mal à Patreon. On a dit tant que d'Emile Zola, mais quand même, il m'a choisi. Je voudrais être mon syllabe à l'ouest du Nord, chevalier, mon homme, mais on va plus pour n'être pas derrière. Est-ce que vous allez m'entrer là, Marcel Massot? Oui, mon grand-père prenait le pétard. Est-ce que vous allez m'entrer là, Marcel Massot? Oui, mon grand-père prenait le pétard. Est-ce que vous allez m'entrer là, Marcel Massot? Oui, mon grand-père prenait le pétard. Est-ce que vous allez m'entrer là, Marcel Massot? Oui, mon grand-père prenait le pétard. Est-ce que vous allez m'entrer là, son improdibal, son son Clemenceau, et son débilant en vin ordinaire. Je n'ai pas qu'on a rien. Guten Abend, meine Herren, meine Herren. Von achten riecht von einem Frieden, wenn er nur in dem Auto wie bei dem Schliff dann ein Riefer Augen sie ein. Und vor allem die sich von uns riecht von schleuchenden Augen sie raten, weil dann die von allen sich ihr Bab hob, ist von allen sie ganze überall. Von anderen Schliefen an allen Frieden und Mitschieber, dann habe ich mich von Freude von Abend nicht überleiden. Und haben mir gemeldet, in meinem jungen Kant, und haben mir nicht von Abend schreiben. Was von einem Hegel, Hess, und einem nicht mehr ich von Abend schreiben, und haben sie ein. Und von anderen von einem Görfen, Götter, und ich will mit einem Reich von Schleibensboden haben. Und haben mich schreiben nach Beethoven, Reich von Abend schreiben. Wohlsag, und haben mir Wohlsag, und ich will von Schleifen erwarten. Und von anderen Schubert, und einem nicht mehr, und Reich von einem Schleider, Max Planck, und dann ruhig bei dem Max Planck und der Augen eben Schrodinger und bei anderen eben am Film bei Andrea, bei Heinesweit und Einstein und Lily Marlene. Ma cosa fai? Ma la piace di vedere la mia piada. Ma con la via, lo so di vedere la mia la Bab Hope, ma quello per me la vanno tutta la mamma mia, la vanno a chiedere la piada. Se me lo vedo, non è la pensa per la piscio baccalato, che non me l'ha piatto per piscina, la gara. La galeria non lo sono galati. Sono così la gara, ce l'ho la Michelangelo e la Galileo. Galileo, me lo vuoi la pia precina. Non lo scelgo la muove la Marconi, ma la con la pia piace la più bene. E non sono con la più bravi, otto, ne mica la lo via, me la lotto, ne mica la braviati. Sembra lo così la vela, ma la motore della piotta, che la ritta lo comale Enrico Fermi, me la confuso, la piatto servito. Alla fine di una Michelangelo, che per la piarra, per chi la lampa la canto, la piace, la pietra, la salone, la cara. Sono le villa, Leonardo da Vinci, la copina a miatto, sono la Mona Lisa. E la corre vita da Bob Hope, ma con l'appa la piace di iniziare. Con la piarra della piccola, non si mai ha voluto nella Pavarotti. Pavarotti, quella con la... Muoi, la so ti piace. E di la piatta, che bisogna la vigilare a Pignardotti, e volte la Mamoleoni, Fattiola, Languini, Maranara. Me lo piace di nessuno. どうしようのが死ぬか。どうしようのが死ぬか。逃げ出しようのことも言ってこの死ぬか。逃げ出しよう。逃げてねがそうな。このマシンがないもんとよ、いにしろよ、タヨタ。死ぬにしなくもない。どうしような、無用の。おー、いなくしなくもない。死ぬか、ダッツン。死ぬか、ダッツン。死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか、死ぬか 이게 다다고 우리가 시작하는 게 Εξήνω το μαλλικίνα και ξήνω, νίσαν. Εξήνω και νίσαν. Εντός η μάγκη νεκούν όλα σάνιο. Σάνιο σόνιο, σόνιο σάνιο γονοκιά. Εγώ θέλω να παχώ, δεν ξέρω το μέλλον, κοιτάγα. Κοιτάγα, you bring your Hitachi right here, εγώ νοσιο τόνο έγινα. Εγώ θα ξήνω και μόλι, με καλά. Σε μου γράει, εγώ ξήνω και λέει, εσούσι, εγώ να γίνει ξήνω.
I'm excited. I had an accident with the car. Oh, no, I'm not hurt. Nobody was hurt, but I don't know how to tell Charles about it. You know how madly in love he is with that silly car. Well, I don't know how it happened. I was driving down Elm Street, and I passed by Flora's millinery shop, you know, and I noticed that she had an Empress Eugenie hat in the window. And I thought to myself, are those things coming back, you know? And I guess for a moment, my mind went off the driving, because the next thing I knew, I was driving right through the front window of Jim Grady's liquor store. Oh, it's a mess, the bottles and everything. Oh, the car's pretty badly damaged, I guess. I had it towed over to Bill's garage. They're going to call me up later and... Wait a minute, Mother. I hear Charles. I'll call you back, yeah. Oh, hello, darling. How are you? How are you, dear, dear boy? How are you? How are you, dear, dear, dear boy? How are you? How are you? How are you, mother's dear boy? How are you?
Measurable. Had a measurable day down at the office. Took inventory. I don't mind mistakes. These men were careless. I don't like careless people. People can make mistakes, but this was pure carelessness. I'm very upset and very excited. I don't think I'll have dinner, dear. I think I'll just take the car and go out and take a drive and relax.
No, 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 no. Sit down, darling, and relax. Eat. You'll feel much better if you eat.
Yeah, maybe
I'll. Something on your
maybe
stomach.
That will be better. Yeah. Can't eat, dear. It just sticks in my stomach and my throat. Yeah, I'll just take the car and take a nice relaxing drive.
No, 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 no. No, no, darling, eat and... You feel better, and I cooked your favorite dish. Kidney stew with lobster sauce. Poor Jim Grady.
Poor Jim Grady.
Well, he owns the liquor store on Elm Street,
on
you
Elm
know.
Street, yeah.
And today, somebody drove a car right through his front window.
She was a woman driver. You know, I don't blame her so much as the crazy husband that let her drive.
It was the husband's
fault. What a pile of dough that's gonna cost. Boy. Better to drive it through a jewelry store window than through a liquor store. What am I worried about? He'll pay for it.
You know something, darling? I've been giving it a lot of thought, and I don't want that new fur coat.
You mean you don't want the new fur coat? You've been pestering me for a year. We took it out of my salary for 6 months we saved. Now, look, don't worry about the financial affairs of this house. I'll worry about them. If I could only get those guys down at the office to worry a little more about their work, I wouldn't be so aggravated. Just plain carelessness. That's what I understand. I can't eat you. I'm going to go out and take the car and hit the next block.
No, 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 no. It isn't wise.
What's the matter with you, Doris? I don't understand you. First of all, I want to buy you the coat. You don't want the coat. Then this is the car and you don't want the...
Well, darling, I didn't tell you, but I took the car over to Bill's garage for some minor repairs.
It's funny. I just took it in for a 1,000-mile checker.
Well, I guess they didn't check it up very good.
What's the matter with the carburetor? A little, out of tune or something?
Probably.
Are the brakes slipping?
They slipped.
Windshield is...
There's no windshield.
Are the wheels sort of out of line or something?
They're all kind of out of line. As a matter of fact, the whole car sort of curves, you know.
luggage rack doesn't close, and the doors don't quite come together. The radio never was very good. And the front of the car is sort of where it shouldn't be. And the upholstery is a little stained.
You drove the car sooner than the store went up.
He wasn't nearly as mad as Doc Fletcher.
Who's Doc Fletcher?
Doc Fletcher is the man that owns the drugstore right across the street from the liquor store.
You smashed up a drugstore, too?
Well, I had to back up to get out of the liquor store. Nobody's perfect.
Well, you were perfect in this. Two shots in one.
Crazy husband.
Nobody was hurt, huh?
Nobody was hurt, just inanimate objects.
Well, then, it's only a matter of money.
Money!
Well, I... pretty lucky, though. Lucky I reminded you to send the check to the insurance company to renew the policy. Lucky boy.
Me?
What a lucky boy. And I reminded you. We'd never be out of debt. I'm afraid to ask. Dear,
you know.
Dear,
did you remember to pay the premium on Sherman's policy?
Of course I did, dear. You told me.
You did? Oh, boy, that's wonderful.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we always used to sing rock and roll songs. But we are getting tired of that rock and roll song, so we have decided to sing a serious song. A real serious song that will make you cry. And it may make us cry. A serious song called Raindrops Are Falling. Ready?
Don't even do. Don't play anymore. Stop the music. Stop it.
Stop it, buddy! Stop it! Look what you did to him!
Are you all right?
I'm gonna have to play that song for.
All right, I'll finish it.
Try.
Are you all right?
Yes, I am. Try. All right, buddy.
I got lots of nice things. Emily sent me some handkerchiefs, and Martha sent me some gloves, and... what? Charles? Oh, Mother, I don't need a present from Charles. After all, we've been married a long time, you know, and I know that he loves me, and that's much more important than a silly present. Really doesn't matter to me whether he brings me a present or not. Such a rat. I know he has lots of things on his mind, but what's more important than your own wife's birthday? I tell you, Mother, the romance is going out of this marriage, and this is his last chance. I'm all set to celebrate my birthday, and if he doesn't bring me a present, this is it, believe me. It. Wait a minute. The rat is coming. See you later, dear. Bye.
Happy birthday.
Charles!
Love for you. Yeah. What?
Now, that's no way to give a present.
What?
Come on, get up.
Yeah.
You go out, come in again, and hand me the present properly.
What?
Go on. Come on.
Well, I don't know why, but I went out, I come in. Yeah, there. Here's your birthday present.
Charles, get up.
What is it? What?
I don't want it.
What do you mean you don't want it? I don't understand you. What is it? You come in a door, I always give you a present, and then I always take a nap before dinner, and I don't know, I just don't feel at home today.
You idiot! You thoughtless, inconsiderate fool!
Now I feel at home. Good. Let's see.
You don't eat until you start behaving like a human being. Like a considerate husband.
What do you mean a considerate husband? What do you want me to do?
You didn't even wish me happy birthday.
Oh, all right. Well, happy birthday, Doris.
Sing it.
What?
Sing it.
Oh, boy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Oh, sing it as if you meant it with some feeling.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Very clever.
All right.
Very clever indeed. What a husband. You don't even kiss me for my birthday.
Yeah, you're right. When you're right, you're right. Happy birthday, Doris.
Is that the way you kiss someone you love? Do you call that a kiss?
Now, wait a minute, Doris. There's one thing I am. I'm a great kisser. I may not be a good swimmer or a good golfer, but I'm a great kisser. I don't understand you. I came in, I brought you a present. What more do you want?
You brought me a present, all right. Your heart wasn't in it.
That's a law.
You kissed me, but was without feeling.
That's a bigger lie.
You didn't treat me like this before we were married.
That's the biggest lie of all. I've always treated you rotten. One thing about our marriage, it's honest and above board. You knew what you were getting into when you married me. I was always a rat.
You don't even know what marriage means.
I don't know what marriage means.
You don't know the meaning of marriage.
I don't know the meaning of
marriage. You have absolutely no conception of the meaning of marriage.
I have no conception of the meaning of
marriage. All right, I would like to know. What does marriage mean to you?
All right, I'll tell you. To me, marriage means... It's like... It's more of a... maybe more like this here. It's like a... Oh! It means you. That's about what marriage means, yeah.
That's just it. You laugh at the whole thing.
Look, Doris, I may be laughing on the outside, but on the inside, I'm very hungry. Let's see.
That's just what marriage means to you. To you, marriage is a hotel. Eat and sleep. Oh, I'm tired of that. I'm just tired of it. I'd like to have a little romance, a little affection, some consideration.
I don't care. Don't cry, Doris, huh? Doris, huh? Please don't cry. I know you got a problem. I know you got a problem, Doris. And I know what the problem is. You're a crazy nut. That's your problem. Cry at the drop of anything. I don't know what it is. Now, look, you're just a little overwrought and tired. Now, why don't you
touch me?
Now, Doris, now, just take a little easy.
Don't touch me.
Now, Doris, you don't mean what you're saying. I'm
just... No!
Doris,
get out of this house.
I guess you won't be needing this.
I don't need your presents. Probably a bottle of cheap perfume.
That's what you think, isn't this? A bottle of cheap perfume?
Cheap, cheap, cheap.
Cheap, 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 huh? That's what you think? You know what's in this box? Oh, first of all, you want to know...
I don't want to...
You're not going to get what's in the box, you know that. No matter... I'm not going to tell you what's in the box, no matter how much you beg.
I'm not the least bit interested.
Don't beg, Doris. It's embarrassing.
I don't even get this much.
Embarrassed, Doris. You're begging too much. I'm not going to tell you what's in the box.
I wouldn't touch it. I don't want it.
Look, you know what's in this box? You know what's in... Now, I'm going to tell you what's in this box.
Then we were walking down Fifth Avenue. We looked in the window of Tiffany's. Remember that? Remember those earrings that you like? The long ones?
Ridiculous. There are no earrings in that box.
That's right. There are no earrings in the box. But it's just because you have to have a present. That shows me how shaky our marriage is. That shows me how shaky it is. You know what it is? You wanted to be mad today. I don't know why, but you wanted to be mad. Even though I brought you a present, if I didn't bring you a present, you would have been mad. And now I do bring you a present, you're still mad, right? So that means you wanted to kill this whole day for yourself, didn't you? You wanted to do it, well, you succeeded. You know what I'm going to do with this now? It's going out the window, just like our marriage. All right? It's going out. There she goes. Out. Out of the window. Now. That's all right? Now, you ruined your whole day, and it's all finished. It's all over. Satisfied? Don't touch me.
Darling, I'm sorry. Maybe I did make too much of a fuss. It was, I don't know why I got so excited about the birthday present.
It's all right. Listen, it was your birthday. You were excited. I was excited. You know, so flared up.
It's so silly of me to get so upset about such a ridiculous, trivial thing. Yeah. Forgive me?
Let's forget about it, huh? So
I don't know what came over me. I just got so silly. What was in the box?
Let's forget about it, huh? It's all over with. Let's forget about it.
I've forgotten about it. I've really forgotten about the whole thing. What was in the box?
Look, I told you once and for all, it's all over. Let's forget about it. It's finished.
It wouldn't hurt you to tell me what was in the box.
It would hurt me to tell you what was in the box.
Why?
Because you're making such a big issue of it. That's why.
I'm not making any issue out of anything. It just so happens you came in here with a big box. You threw it out the window. Naturally, I'm curious to know what was inside of it.
You gotta know what's inside the box.
Well,
huh?
I don't gotta know, but I'd like to know.
You'd like to know. It's very important to you.
I would.
Well, I'll tell you what was in the box. You want to know what was in the box? A beautiful imported raincoat. For me. That's right, I forgot about your birthday. Just happened to buy a raincoat on the way home, and I remembered when I got into the door that it was your birthday, so I gave you that instead.
I knew it! I knew it!
Boy, you're happy now, huh?
I knew you bring me a present.
Happiness, huh? You knew it, huh?
I knew, because I know you.
No, you know me, I know you. No, you know me.
I know you better than you know yourself.
You think you know me, that you knew I wouldn't
bring you a present. I know the real you.
I know the real me. You don't know the real me. I know you.
I know you, no
present. No, you think you knew I wasn't going to bring a present, huh? That's how well you know me, huh? Well, what is this here, huh?
Phone, probably.
Yeah? There you are. There it is. The earrings. Saved up a whole year. There they are. As a present. Happy birthday.
Fine way to give a present. Yeah. So typical of you to just sort of throw them at me. Yeah. Like you throw a bone at a dog. Never done anything. Your whole life.
Yeah.
It's so typical of you to do something like this. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Dad. Come on, let's see.
Excuse me. It is a shame, and there is sadness here in Bitslapland, here in Addlewood, and all over the place, really, because we lost one of the great ones this week. Sid Caesar left us last Wednesday at the age of 91. He was born August 8th of 1922 as Isaac Sidney Caesar. Cut his acting chops and stuff in various places. Wound up in California. The rest is history. Hosted your show of shows with the Big Four: Carl Reiner, Imogene Coca, Howard Morris, and Sid. Had some pretty heavy duty people writing for him too. You know them: Mel Brooks, ring a bell. Neil Simon wrote for him. Woody Allen, Larry Gelbart, who was the guiding light behind MASH. Mel Tolkien, you'll remember him from things like Get Smart. And Sid was in show business for about 70 years. That's a pretty long time. And he actually outlived his wife, Florence. He was married to Florence for 67 years. They got married in 1943. And that's about all you need to know. We have a large body of work to go over here. I apologize for the derivity, I guess. Is that a word? I don't know. It is now. You owe me a quarter every time you use it. The derivity of the material we use here. It all came from YouTube because it worked in visual mode. It didn't really work on record. But I'm trying it here, and what I would advise you to do is to go to the Playlists and Archives section. You'll see all the videos there. A lot of videos. It works really well on video, so you can use those as supplementary material, or just go ahead and skip this part of the thing and just go straight to the archives and listen to the videos. I don't mind. We started out with The Professor on Mountain Climbing with Carl Reiner from 1952. Sid ranting in four different languages. Bet you could not understand a word he was saying. I'll bet you he couldn't either. He only spoke English and Yiddish. The Auto Smash Up with Imogene Coca. Raindrops Are Falling was The Three Haircuts, which was Sid, Carl Reiner, and Howard Morris. And then The Birthday Sketch with Imogene Coca. Here comes some more, some of his earliest stuff. Enjoy.
10 years ago, when $5 was a bankroll, you took your girl out for a big time, the town was really yours. So let us look into the case of a fellow or girl, a date. The placement happened the year 1939. Hello, baby. You better get ready. I'm coming down to get my steady. We'll do the town, baby, we'll rock it. Cause I've got $5 and it's burning a hole in my pocket. We'll taxi to La Paz for a dry martini, then we'll taxi to Luigi's for some scallopini, then we'll taxi to the Strand for a picture show, then we'll taxi for Charmaine too. For young low, there's a real swell band, and we'll dance, then a hansom through the park, and we'll ride, we're doing the town, and baby, we'll rock it, cause I've got $5, and it's burning a hole in my pocket. Taxi, yes sir, anywhere, step right in, I'll take you there. Here we are, how much? 20 cents, thank you, some trip, a nickel tip. Ring, 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 gee, baby, you look great. Mike my outfit, $3.98, let's hit the town, and baby, we'll rock it. Cause I've got $5, and it's burning a hole in my pocket. Taxi, yes sir, cafe, la pay, anything you say. Here we are, cafe, la pay, hello, Pierre. Chanté, madame, et monsieur, Gilles Ponser, et Bijan Rennes, et Chapurel, madame, à qui s'y rende. Monsieur Kishuto, the sponsor of the show, Reddy Saint-Pierre-Terrain, you do me honor to come to my place. Aura, the big table, son cher, it's for six, make it for two. Oh, chante, madame, et monsieur, the sponsor of the two martinis, the crystal glasses. Je vais la rasie de Reddy Pierrin, leur grand hors d'oeuvre, hein? The sponsor of Reddy Saint-Pierre, ou la caviar, compliments to the house. Mais je Reddy Saint-Pierre dirait, imported cheese, compliments to the house. Mais je Reddy Saint-Pierre dirait, leur petit de foie gras, compliments to the house. Mais Reddy Saint-Pierre, la two martinis, mangez, madame, monsieur, mangez. To us. Pierre check is on arrange, 40 cents. Well, keep the change. Merci, monsieur, you make no sleep. 10 cents, quel type. Oh, merci, monsieur, merci beaucoup. Je vais penser à Redison Passible. Come back again. Taxi. Yes, sir. Take us to Luigi's Grotto. Watch the save us. That's my motto. Here we are, Luigi's Grotto. Hello, Luigi. Angelina, look what's come. Customer. Oh, signore, signorina. Buonasera. Quando la mangiando, Luigi? Candiendolo, voglio andare, andiamo a Tony. Non è con che the best chianti, oh, se danno, signori e signorine, e buongiorno, buongiorno, Giuseppe e Scalavina, eh? I mix the salad myself, oh, rub the bowl, a little garlic, eh? A little olive oil, a little wine vinegar, and mix them up nice, it's good, eh? Mm. No good, a little more wine and sauce, mangi, signor, mangi, mangi, mangi. What a meal, just a man's Luigi check. And 90 cents. 90 cents? Oh, that's it for two. Well, here's a buck.
Thank you. She's come in at last to my ship. Hey, Angelina, a 10 cent dip. Grazie, signor. Grazie, molto bene. Grazie, quando la mangiano. Come back again.
Taxi. Yes, sir. To the Strand at your command. Here we are. Here's the Strand. Step right up. Step right up. Immediate seating in all parts of the theater. No waiting for seats at any time. On the stage, we have Benny Goodman, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Jack Benny. In person, on the screen, we have Clark Gable, Lana Turner, Spencer Tracy, Hedy Lamarr, Ingrid Bergman, in Technicolor. And then in all, free dishes, silverware, crockery, china, harvest chairs, screen or bingo, bango, lotto, a chance to win $50, all seats, 25 cents, free turkeys, free cheese. Buy your tickets, please.
Gee, baby, what a show. Now for Lark, let's take a hansom through the park. Debbie?
Yes, sir. Step right up. You're the boss. Just tell me, I'll tell the house.
Well, baby, here's your door. Have fun. We'll do it some more. This was a night. Everything right.
We hit the town and did we rock it. I had $5 and I've still got change in my pocket.
That was the date of 1939. I'm the same boy, the same girl, on the same date today.
Hello, baby.
You better hurry, because that's the worry. You won't be able to get a table. I'm coming down. I'm coming fast. Got 2 months' pay, and I hope it'll last.
Back seats.
Wherever you're going, I'm not going that way. Oh, please, Mr. Yes, okay. Yeah, I'm getting soft, I guess. Here we are. Am I still alive? $4. Here's $5. Keep the change. I can't wait. $1.50. You cheapskate. Bling, 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 bling. Gee, maybe better see than dress up on a comedy. Didn't dress up with Jack. $200 to send me back. Didn't dress up with a fine. I do. Just want to get for going out with you. That's it. Go on. We'll be late. What is this? A marathon or a date? Back seat. Where you going? Cafe La Paya. I ain't going that way. Well, be so good as to drop us off in the neighborhood. Okay, get in. Hello, Pierre. You look great. Back in line. 1 hour wait. Oh, gee, this is a $10 table. Is that table line? Merci, monsieur. Back in line. Oh, gee, let's go to the bar. Two martinis. What do you think you are? Pardon me. Get off my foot. Put your push. Go shove it. I'm having a good time for it. I don't want to fight, Bobby. Let's get out of here. It's too crowded in here. Back seat. Gee, here's a keg. Get your hand up. That keg. It's my keg. Well, I saw it, right? By the best man. Get in. Hello, Luigi. You look fine. You got my table in the bucket. You want a table? Maybe it's a minute. There's a 2 hour wait. Bobby, let's go to the Strand. All right, get in line. Waiting for all seats. Wait up. Say, what's playing? What's the difference? 4 hour waiting. Come on now. Get your money ready. $4 off the $7 loads. Get in line. Where's the line? Just keep walking till you find it. Gabby, Gabby, they're all thankful. It's not my fault. It's my fault. Look at me. One mark name. We'll do it just like an idea. You said I wouldn't dress up because you're $200. Honey, I spent a fortune. I got nothing. Listen, I got two eyes dragged around you. No, it was $5. What a lousy night. That's the date in Manhattan.
The airplane numbers. I'd like to do it for you tonight.
You know, all these airplane pictures, they're all the same. You walk into the theater, you sit down, the first thing you hear is the music. Then, way, way, way back in the screen, you see a little speck. It's an airplane. And it gets bigger and 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 bigger. And finally, it swoops up. And on the bottom of the wings is the title. Wings. Over Bombenschüssel. Then we fade into a scene in the briefing room where Colonel Brack is making a speech to his men.
Gentlemen, you're here to pick a volunteer for a very dangerous mission for one-man bombing of Bombenschüssel.
Then we see camera close-ups of different faces, grim. No, me now. Determined, let him yammer. I'll kill him. I'll murder him. Revengeful. Nervous. The nervous one we just saw is out of a kid. He's a young fella. He just joined up. He's about 11 years old. He's a major. Finally, the whole thing is left up to the two aces of the squadron, Bill and Smiling Jim. But the colonel wishes them all good luck.
Good luck, my boy. Get it over and get it over and get it over and get it over.
Good luck, my boy.
Get it over and get up there and fight. I'll stay here. Yeah. Good luck, my boy. Good luck, Major.
Now we see Bill and Smiling Jim in the locker room. Two handsome men. One with a mustache and one without a mustache. That's for the girls who like mustaches and the girls who don't like mustaches. Smiling Jim speaks first. I'll take up the plane, Bill. You marry Jane. Bill speaks, nah. Nah, Jim. I'll take up the plane. You marry Jane. Jim goes, look, Bill. Out the window. See, out there quick. It's better this way. Puts on his flying suit. Zip! Out the door. Onto the pier that was plane. Contact. Switch on. Then her over. It's a very simple plane. Anybody could fly it. Roger. Will somebody tell me who is Roger? Clear the field, please. Wind information. Wind northeast by southeast and west of the course. Watch out for down there. From south side of the field. Come across upstairs. Downstairs. Don't come out. I'm going straight ahead. Taking off now. No, it's a heavy plane, you know. Now the scene switches back to Bill lying unconscious on the locker room floor. He gets up. What happened? He knows what happened. Roger, the control tower. Sister Yodley, where's Smiling Jim? Just to call for the plane, sir. Well, get me in contact with him right away. Yes, sir. Jim, you fool. Bring that plane in immediately, you hear me? Bring that plane in immediately, you fool, you. There's no propeller on it. Now the camera stays with Jim as he flies on to bombing system. He's always looking down. Always looking down. He never looks up, because that's where the Germans are. Finally, we see the Germans, five of them. The German planes always look so horrible. Always black, with the big swastika and the skull and the crossbones. And the pilots, always with the black mustache, the square goggles, and the black helmets. They look so mean. But the Americans. Nice, clean-cut fellas. And the American planes, they always sound so cute. And the German planes. Finally, the German squad leader looks down. He sees Smiling Jimmy, says to his comrades, Achtung! Achtung! Bremen, we're stolen from the Arden Platte. Bremen, Bremen, we're stolen from the Arden Reifen. Achtung, Ulm, and there can't stop the Arden Reifen. The Arden Reifen, we're stolen from the Arden Reifen. Achtung, Jimmy, now. Let's go for the Führer. He looks up, sees the German planes coming down. He sweeps his planes up.
He's always smiling.
Gets in position. Opens up. Two German planes go down. But still the Germans, come on. And the American. Jim gets in position again. Opens up. Two more German planes go down. He's in trouble.
Now, there are only two planes left in the sky. The German and the American. Jim gets a position again. Opens up. Jim's guns are jammed. Meanwhile, the German swoops around, gets it back, and Jim opens up. Jim's tail is gone. Again, the German comes in. Jim's right wing is gone. Again, the German comes in. Jim's left wing is gone. No. No tail. No right wing, no left wing, no machine guns. He heads straight for the German. Now Jim is alone in the sky. He looks down on his other bombers, just opens his bomb bays, looks at the bomb site. There goes the factory. There goes the chemical works. There goes the ammunition dump. 5 o'clock, Jim goes home.
Your roving reporter, Carl Reiner, here at LaGuardia Airport, awaiting the arrival of a plane load of eminent visitors, among them the distinguished Viennese authority on leisure domain and one of the world's greatest magicians. Here he comes now, Professor Hocus Von Pocus. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening, Dan.
Professor Von Pocus, I wonder if you could tell me something. You've seen Professor Von Pocus. Professor Von Pocus.
Yes.
I wonder if you could tell me, who is the most unusual magician in the whole world?
Oh, the most unusual?
Yes.
The most unusual that I've ever seen was Rodini.
Rodini.
Ah, was he unusual? I'm telling you, he was unusual. He had one thing there. He had a little kid. You know, a little kid, put him on the stage in the middle, and then he would look at him, you know, like this, and go, "La." And the kid would rise right up off the floor.
Off the floor.
No wires, no strings, no ropes, no nothing. And then after he got him up a certain height, he said, "Fly." And the kid would fly up in the balcony, around, loop-de-loop, slap-de-lap, in, out, not, put power dives, fly all over the place. It was just unusual.
Rondoni was that great.
He was a rotten magician. The kid was a good flyer, that's all. You get a good flyer, you got a good trick. You know it.
I see, Doctor. Doctor, you as a magician, what do you consider to be the one single most important thing in your life?
Hey, rabbits.
Oh, sure. Rabbits, of course. You have pulled them out of a hat and out of your sleeve, I guess.
No, I eat them. I love a good roast rabbit. You know what I mean? That's the best thing I like.
Doctor, you are well known for the great illusions that you do. I know an illusion takes a lot of equipment. And could you describe one of your illusions to us?
Well, yes. I did an illusion. This trick was really something. I used to get a girl, but it had to be a beautiful girl.
Beautiful girl.
And I'd put her in the center of the stage, see? And then I would look at her in the eyes, and then I would take a piece of silk, you see? The pure stuff, you know, that you could actually see through. And I just put it over her head, you know. And then, give me a $20 bill. Give me $20 bill. Yeah. And then we put it back here. And I would move her a little bit more to the side, you know. And I take another one of those silk things, and I just throw it over her head, you know. Just like that. Now, another $20 bill. Come on. That's the night. Now, I would back her up this way and then keep her coming towards me. And then still another silk veil over her. And this time the audience couldn't hardly see her a little bit, you know. Now, and then I would just so, and that was it. She would disappear.
Doctor, what about the $40 I gave you?
The $40, yes. Here we are. We got it right there. That trick never works. It never works. Maybe if I put the girl over there, it wouldn't remember.
Well, doctor...
Well, that's what you do.
I understand that hypnotism and magic are very closely allied. Do you practice hypnotism at all?
Oh, I'm one of the greatest hypnotists. I'm the hippest hypnotist that ever hypnotized a hippopotamus.
Is that right?
I don't know why I hypnotized a hippopotamus, but I did. But he left. I don't know why. But you know what? Would you like to be a subject? You'll feel much better after.
I've never done this before.
You'll feel much better after,
really?
All right?
I don't mind at all.
All right, now. Relax. Make your mind a complete blank. A complete blank. You got a little piece sticking out over here. Get it out. That's it. Now, you are in a deep sleep. You are sleeping, and you will be my slave. I will be your master. I am your master. You will do anything I say.
Professor.
Yes, master.
Professor. Professor, turn around.
Yes, master.
Professor, put your hands down.
Yes, master.
Wake up, Professor, wake up.
There, you see, you feel better already, don't you? That's good for you in a little bit of that.
Yes, it was very interesting, Doctor. Doctor, I wonder if I could prevail upon you to show us one of your simpler tricks. Actually demonstrate one of your simpler tricks. Could you do that?
All right, I do that. Assistant.
Oh, this is an unexpected pleasure, Doctor.
Well, that's the way it goes. Well, what are you going to do? Now, you see, the trick here is to make this glass over there and the bottle go over here. All I use is the two glasses, one, two empty cylinders. Right? Now, what we do, we take the glass and put it under the cylinder, see? Then we take that bottle and put it on. Well, we got to get rid of the bottle. All right. Get rid of the bottle, put it over there. All right, now, we got an empty cylinder. Yoo-hoo! Okay? There we are, we put it over this bottle, right here, right? All right, now, what we do, we have to make the glass go over here, the glass go over here, right? The glass over here, one of the bottles over here, right? Now, we go, handy, handy, somebody, somebody, poke it, poke it, eat my love, right? On here is the bottle, on here is the glass, the bottle. My goodness. Well, we get rid of the bottle, that's all, put it right over there. All right, now. Now we have we got the glass over here, and we got an empty cylinder. What? Yeah, we got enough over there. All right. Now we make the bottle go over there, and the glass go over here, on this left, right? How many, how many, poppy poo? Bah! On there is the bottle, on there is the bottle. Right? Well, we get rid of the bottle, that's all. Right over there. All right, now we got the glass here, right? We got the glass here, we got the bottle there, right? Now we cut the glass over here, and the bottle over there, and one punch through. Maybe, how many, poppy poo? Wait a minute, we got too many bottles. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's doing here. All right, now I'll tell you what we do. Got the glass over here, right? Oh, we got the bottle over here. Now we take the bottle over here and the glass over there. How many pennies, how many pennies, how many pennies, how many pennies? There we are, the bottle's here on the bottle. Try to tell you what we do. We take the bottle and we just put it right over there, you understand? And then we do it at an empty cylinder. Forget about the glass, but the bottles, we just do it with an empty cylinder. All right, now, here we are. We got the bottle. The bottle! He's done already. Well, what are you going to do? All right, no, we got the glass there. That's right, we got the glass. I don't know what's there. Well, and we got the bottle here. All right, the glass is going to go over there. How many people have to pull? Here we are, the bottle's there. On here is the bottle. Well, we just get rid of the bottle, that's all. Now, we have the glass here, you see, and we got the bottle there, yeah. I don't know. All right, now we got that bottle over there, glass over there. Yeah, it's there. All right. When we got how many, somebody found me full, there's the bottle, on there, on there's the bottle, on there, I don't need it.
I don't know, Doris, why did you take me here? What is this? I don't know what you took me here for.
Oh, Charles, don't be so stubborn. You're going to love this restaurant.
Well, you're going to love. I'm hungry. I want to eat a good dinner, and you take me here. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to eat here. I mean, but what is it, the Vitality Health Food Kitchen? What is there to eat here? I don't know.
This happens to be one of the finest restaurants in New York. They serve only health foods here. The meals are all highly vitaminized and planned by a dietary specialist.
Yeah, but I mean, what
good health to you, madam.
Good health to you.
Good health to you, sir.
And good health to you.
I'll have a table in just a moment.
Yes. Health to you. What was that? Good health to you. Look, Doris, I don't want to eat here. I mean, let's not experiment, huh? I'm hungry now. I don't want to experiment. If I eat someplace else, maybe I'll experiment with you. But look, why don't we go to Pepito's, huh? We can get those nice spiced snails, you know, and then we can get those hot tamales with the red sauce, and then we can have some more snails, and then we can have some pickles with the hot mustard, and we can have the spiced sausages, you know? After all, why take chances with your stomach? I don't know.
Pepito's, that's just the trouble with you, Charles, stuffing all that poison in your stomach. One meal here, and you see how much better you'll feel. One meal, that's
all. Well, I don't want to feel better after a meal. I want to feel full. Now, if I go to Pepito's and make a meal after the meal, it's... What? I know I ate.
Charles, you're going to thank me for bringing you here. These dietetic foods add years to your life. They give you vim and vigor. Look, look.
What?
See that couple over there, right there on the side?
Which one? The dough?
Right there.
Yeah.
They have been eating here for years. Now, how old would you say he is?
Maybe around 28, 29 years old.
84. 84.
You mean the guy with the crew haircut?
Mm-hmm.
84 years old. Boy, kept himself in good shape, I'll say that. It turned out all right, too. Look at the young chick with him.
That's his mother.
That's his mother.
The Italian boy haircut. That's the mother.
Your table is ready now.
Oh, thank you very much. Charlie!
Charlie Hickenlooper.
Mr. Fleming, how are you, sir?
Nice to see you.
Fine. Mr. Fleming, I don't think you've met my wife, Doris.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Hickenlooper?
Doris, Mr. Fleming, yeah. What are you doing here, Mr. Fleming?
Oh, well, a very good friend of mine has been eating here for years and suggested that I try it, so I thought I would.
Well, that's a coincidence. I'm eating here for the first time also.
Is that so?
Yes, Doris took me.
Well,
enjoy your meal. Very nice meeting you.
How nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Where do you know Mr. Fleming from?
I always see him eating at Pepito's. He's been eating the Pepito's for about, years now.
Oh, nice old man.
23.
Good health to you, madam. Good health to you, sir.
Good health to you.
And good health to you. Good health.
I'll be with you in a moment.
Well, I hope the food is good, because I'm starved.
Well, let's dig in.
What's the matter with you? People look at you, it's not nice. I mean, can't you wait till the waiter comes?
Charles, these are health food hors d'oeuvres. They're the blossoms of the palapaca plant.
The palahookabata?
The palapaca plant. They're loaded with sodium oxide. Very good for your ankles. Try one. And if you like them, I'll get a bouquet. We'll keep them around the house for snacks.
That'll be good.
Did you like it?
Oh, boy! Look, Doris, the next time we go out... Next time we go out, we'll eat separately. I'll eat at Pepito's, and you can eat at the Botanical Garden somewhere.
Taste for these things, darling. Where do you taste the other dishes?
Your menu? Did you enjoy your palapaca?
Oh, delicious.
The
palapacas,
yeah.
Vegetable protein derivative. Yeast extract, low sodium manganese salad. I can't make up my mind. Everything sounds so yummy.
Yeah.
What are you going to have, Charles?
I don't know. What would you suggest, Doctor?
Well, how about a nice vitamin B1, B2, B3, C, D, and H dinner for two? It's very nice.
Oh, that sounds like too much for me.
Yeah.
I'll just have the homogenized bone meal, wheat germ, and a side order of glucose.
I'm sorry, madam, but glucose doesn't come with the wheat germ. I could let you have crotose.
Oh, I don't like crotose. Have you any fluorotose?
Not on Fridays. No fluorotose on Fridays. How about a nice dish of ceratose?
All right, I have ceratose with a birch bark dressing.
Certainly.
Birch bark.
One ceratose with birch bark dressing, and you, sir?
I'll have an elm tree on rye.
I'm sorry, sir, but elms are out of season.
You serve them here, I know that, yeah. Well, I don't know, what would you suggest I have?
Well, how about a nice penicillin pudding?
Penicillin pudding? You set it with a hypodermic, or you take it nasally? What are you doing?
Darling, why don't you have a steak?
Steak? Sure, where? Where's the steak?
Right there.
Steak-o. A vitality steak made of broccoli germ, asparagus gluten, carrot dextrose, and celery.
And with that, you get two vegetables.
Oh, I need them very much.
It looks like real steak.
Look, I don't want anything that looks like real steak. I want real steak. When I have to pay for it, I have to pay for it with real money. So if I want a steak, I have to pay for it with real money. I want a real steak.
They don't serve meat here.
Well, then let's go somewhere else, maybe. Hey, what is he eating? I'll have that. That's spaghetti. I'll have that, yeah.
That's not spaghetti, sir. That's spaghetti. Cabbage extract and cauliflower derivative. It looks like spaghetti, so we call it spaghetti.
Yeah. Well, I'll have a veal kitlet with some ravioli on the side.
One veal kitlet and one ravioli.
You save it here? Yeah.
You go with pussy willow dressing?
Yeah, bring the pussy willows with the ravioli. As well, pussy willows with your ravioli. Look, I hope this food is good, dear, because I'm really starved.
Keep
you know
an open mind, Charles.
Yeah.
There you are, man. Here's your birch bark dressing. Pussy willows. Your implement,
A, B, C.
Wait a minute, hold it, wait a minute. What's going on here? What are you saying with all this B, C, B stuff? What are you saying here?
Oh, hi, Professor. I'm just saying my ABCs.
What do you mean ABCs? What's the ABCs?
You know, all the letters. The letters we spell words with.
Oh, you mean the letters? Oh, yeah. Letters. I know letters. Do I know letters, Chief? Do I know letters?
Do you?
Do I? I invented them. Are you kidding?
You did?
Of course. You know the letter A?
Yes.
I invented that. I made that up.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to see how I made it up?
Yeah.
I made like A. See that?
Oh, yeah.
And then I made a L. L is Z. And then I made the letter And then I made the letter,
the letter,
yeah, I made that up, but I threw it away because there is no word with the letter in it.
Oh,
I looked all over the dictionary, I couldn't find one in a word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gee, but if you made up all the letters, you must really know them pretty well.
Are you kidding? You want to hear them?
Yeah.
all the letters, here goes.
Okay.
Let's see, there's P, and then there's X, and then there's L. On there's B, and then there's, let me see.
Professor?
Yeah? Professor? Yeah, please. I'm concentrating here. I have to concentrate very hard. I first started with X. X and P. P and X. First.
But, Professor, don't you know the alphabet?
There's a lot of letters to remember. The what?
The alphabet. You know, it's a way to say all the letters so you can remember them.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
You can remember all of them?
Yeah.
But why didn't they tell me about this before? I mean, I was all mixed up with quantum mechanics and trying to go. I mean, there's a way to go, but
sure.
How does it go?
Oh, I'll tell you.
Yeah, tell me about it. Let's see.
A.
Yeah.
B. C.
That's right.
D.
G.
E.
Wow.
F. G. H. I.
Wow.
J. K.
Yeah.
L.
That.
M.
Yeah.
N.
Yeah.
O. P.
Wow.
Q.
There's more.
R. Yeah. S.
How do you like that?
T.
That comes right after
U.
R. And U comes after
V.
V.
W.
And a W.
X.
That's where X is. Why?
Z.
It's because Z. X because Z. That's fantastic. You said every letter except and there is no so what's the sense? So you said you called the whole
alphabet.
Alphabet.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
I got a great idea. You know what they should do? Before they teach quantum mechanics in school, they should teach the alphabet in school. Yes, sir. I'm agreeing with you. Yes, sir, boy. I'm with you. I think they should do that. That's what they got to do in school. I'm going to tell you.
Thanks, Professor. Gee, they already do teach that in school, don't they?
This is your roving reporter, Carl Reiner, here at LaGuardia Airport, awaiting the arrival of a plane load of eminent visitors, and among them, the distinguished Viennese authority on the subject of sleep. As you know, his latest book has just become a bestseller. It's entitled, Wake Up and Sleep. And here he comes now, that famous Dr. Sigmund von Sedative. Doctor.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Good evening, Doctor.
Oh, it's evening?
Yes.
Must have fell asleep walking out here.
Yes, Doctor. Is it true, Doctor, that some people actually have the faculty of falling asleep just anywhere?
Of course. Yes, some people are lucky that way, you know. Well, there was the fella, I mean, I had a patient once, he was, when I cured him, he was, like this, you know. I cured him, he was, you know how hard it is to ride on a train, you know, when you go. And if he goes on a train, as soon as it's a sound, pop, he's off, you know. Ain't no, with all the noise, but choo-choo, all that noise, he sleeps like a log. He goes right past all the stations.
Doctor, that's wonderful.
What do you mean, wonderful? He's the engineer. He almost wrecked it.
Doctor, as far as I'm concerned, I can't possibly fall asleep if I have a problem on my mind. Is this usual?
Oh, yes, that is very, very common. You understand? See, now, of course, there was a patient of mine who was a millionaire, and he could not get any sleep.
Oh.
So I just said to him, I said, now, listen, you can have the finest beds and take warm milk and the hot baths. It's not going to help you because you are always worrying about your money. You understand? So the best thing to do, get rid of the money. Get rid of the money, and then you can sleep, because you cannot be a millionaire and sleep. You understand? So he followed my directions. He got rid of all the money.
Well, you should see him today, lying on a park bench with his head on. Even with the snow and the rain and the sleet, and he's lying there, he's a bum, you know.
But now he sleeps peacefully.
No! Who could sleep with the rain and the sleet and the snow and everything? Crazy. What's the matter with you?
I see, but doctor, doesn't the problem sometimes go deeper than just material things like money?
Oh, yes, of course it does. There was a case I had was very pitiful.
Very pitiful. It was a fellow came into the office, you know, and he said he has never slept in his life.
Really, doctor?
Never slept in his life. Imagine this. Oh, I tried to analyze him. I tried to talk psychology with him. And nothing would help, you know. And I kept on trying and trying and trying, but it was no difference. Finally, I went way back into his childhood.
Oh.
And I found out the reason why he couldn't sleep. It was his mother's fault.
Oh, his mother.
His mother was the cause.
See.
She never told him when you sleep, close the eyes. Since that's the case, I know of a case of fella. A fellow, you know, there's such a thing as too much sleep, too, you know.
Yes.
That's the thing, right? It's just too much sleep. You know, people that sleep too much. There was a patient I had, he would... he came in, he would wake up in the morning, have the orange juice and drink it down, and by the time he was happy, he was finished. He was sleeping, you know. Even when he went to work, he would write a couple of notes, and all of a sudden, he was sleeping, you know. It was a terrible thing. He was sleeping and sleeping, and finally, I brought him into the office. And I questioned him, and questioned him, and why? Why is he so sleepy? Why? Because he's tired.
Doctor, I wonder if you can show us your own personal method for falling asleep.
Of course. That's all. See, most of the people, they walk in when they, you know, they just get into bed very gently, you know? My method, you come in the bed, you flop into bed. You flop into bed and you relax a bit. And then you concentrate. You concentrate, you say, all right, toes. Good night. Good night, toes. Come on, go to sleep. And you see right away they curl up and they drop off. To sleep. And then you say, good night, ankles. Good night, knees. And pretty soon you see the legs are asleep. And you tell the stomach, come on, good night, stop the mixing in there. Hang on. Go to sleep. And you tell the chest, you did a nice job today. You just worked good. Stop the breathing. Come on. And you say the throat, come on. Okay, stop that. All right, brain, come on, go to sleep. Brain, will you please go to sleep? Come on, everybody else is sleeping, why don't you? Listen, don't holler so loud, will you please? You'll wake up the stomach. Will you please go to sleep like a nice... I got a brain inside of his mind. Will you please go to sleep? Well, don't holler so much, will you please? You'll wake up the whole... You don't want to go to sleep, huh? You don't want to go to... All right, I shut up. All right, everybody up! Someday you want to go to sleep, I wouldn't let you sleep. Now, what are you arguing?
So Sid was nominated for like 9 Emmys, for TV. He was mostly a TV guy. He didn't do much in the way of movies, recorded stuff. He was kind of a spontaneous guy, and as the spontaneity of TV and stuff gave way to scripting of sitcoms and things like that in the late 50s, and mid-50s for that matter, Sid began to see his career kind of eroding away. He discovered alcohol and pills, and after passing out in New York City and on Broadway one night during a play, he finally said, shit, I better get my act together. And he did. He made kind of a comeback, as it were, and wound up living to the age of 91. Nobody thought he would do that. So anyway, we heard from two of his earliest things. We heard $5 Date and the Airplane Sketch. His airplane movie sketch, here recorded in 1952. The Professor on Magic from 1951. The Health Food Restaurant with Imogene Coca. And then a trip on Sesame Street with Big Bird talking about the alphabet. And then The Professor on Sleep. And as for me, Sid is responsible for one of my favorite lines ever, and I use it a lot because it seems to be extremely appropriate. Way back in the beginning, you heard him say that, you know, you can always go back to screaming, and I've lived by that. Whenever everything is kind of like, what else are you going to do? You can always go back to screaming, so try this. And I've actually lived by that, for better or for worse. So anyway, coming up now, somebody else who died this week, you know who that is. And this is one of the songs you probably never heard her do. And the tap dancing there that you'll hear is with her good friend Buddy Ebsen. Although she was good friends with Bill Bojangles. I'll see you next week. We'll have some good stuff. If not, what can I tell you? We can always go back to screaming. Thanks, Sid. Good night, baby. We'll get you for this.
There's your music, star. Let's get going.
Come on, Sid. Come on.
I won't, Star.
Up
here.
Next Friday night, you're all invited to dance from 8 to 5. All the fishes still alive are having a ball. It's some affair, they'll all be there from the herring to the whale. They'll turn out to shake a scale in Neptune's hall. Come along and follow me to the bottom of the sea. We'll join in the jamboree at the codfish ball. Lobsters dancing in a row, shuffle off to Buffalo. Jellyfish sway to and fro at the codfish ball. Ben and Hattie leave the eel through an Irish reel. The catfish is a dancing man, but he can't, like the sardine can. To his trucking left and right, many's mooching, what a night. There won't be a hook in sight at the codfish ball. Come along and follow me to the bottom of the sea. We'll join in the jamboree at the cottage ball. Lobsters dancing in a row, shuffle off to Buffalo. Jellyfish sway to and fro at the cottage ball. Finn and Hattie leave the eel through an Irish field. The catfish is a dancing man, but he can't, like the sardine can. Tourists trucking left and right, minnies mooching, what a night. There won't be a hook in sight at the codfish ball.